I will be reading a passage from Barbara Kingsolver's The Poisonwood Bible. It begins on page 466 in the chapter Exodus. And in this passage, Leah discusses her feelings about her mother's decision to take her children from Kulanga and return home. The night was pitch dark. I listened to the pounding rain on the thatch and the quiet drips that leaked through, and only then did I think of Father. They say you thatched your roof, and now you must not run out of your house if it rains. Father was no longer with us. Father and Ruth May both, as simple as that. My mind ached like a broken bone as I struggled to stand in the new place I found myself. I wouldn't see my baby sister again, this I knew. But I hadn't yet considered the loss of my father. I'd walked in his footsteps my whole life, and now without warning my body had fallen in line behind my mother, a woman whose flank and jaw glinted hard as salt when she knelt around a fire with other women, whose pale eyes were fixed on a distance where he couldn't follow. Father wouldn't leave his post to come after us, that much was certain. He wasn't capable of any action that might be seen as cowardice by his God, and no God, in any heart on this earth, was ever more on the lookout for human failing. Out of the thunderous rain, the words came to my ears in Anatole's serene, particular voice. You must not run out of your house if it rains. Anatole translated the rage of a village into one quiet sentence that could pin a strong-willed man to the ground. It is surprising how my mother and father hardened so differently when they turned to stone. I imagined him still standing in our yard, frozen under the deluge, baptizing an endless circle of children, who would slip away and return with new faces requiring his blessing. I'd never understood the size of my father's task in the world, the size or the terrible extravagance. I fell in and out of sleep under a strange dream of awful weight that I had to move to free myself. A mountain of hard-boiled eggs that turned into children when my hands touched them, dark-eyed children whose faces begged me for a handful of powdered milk, my clothes, whatever I had. But I brought nothing to give you, I told them, and my heart took me down like a lead weight. For no matter whether these words were true or false, they were terrible and wrong. Each time I drifted off, I sank down again through the feverish damp scent and dark blue hopelessness of this awful dream. Finally, I shuddered it off and lay sleepless, hugging around my shoulders a thin cotton cloth that smelled of sweat and smoke. With exhaustion for company, I listened to the pounding rain. I would walk in no one's footsteps now. How could I follow my mother out of here now and run away from what we'd done? But after what we'd done, how could I stay?